this ordinance is based on similar ordinances in cities around the country who have dealt with events of this magnitude, events that are deemed to be national special security events. We have learned from their successes. We have learned from their mistakes. We've seen what works and what doesn't work, having studied a lot of the cities that have gone through this before. We've looked at their ordinances. We've decided what's applicable here in Tampa. And we've crafted an ordinance that I think does a number of things. I think it provides a very, very easy process and an expedited process for those folks who want to come to Tampa during the Republican National Convention and offer an alternative viewpoint. We've shortened the time frames. We've reduced the requirements. We've made it as easy as we possibly can for people who want to come down and protest, whatever it is they want to protest, to come and do so. Now, included in that is also some expectations and some regulations that we know that 99.9% of the good folks that will be here will live by and uphold. We want this to be a safe environment for everybody who's here, both convention goers and those who are protesting the convention. But we also want to say loud and clear that those that choose not to obey the law will be dealt with very swiftly and very efficiently.
You propose what's called a clean zone. Tell us where that is and what kind of things will be either prohibited or limited inside that clean zone.
Well, the clean zone is modeled after what we used to do for the Super Bowl. In essence, creating a zone around Raymond James Stadium or around portions of downtown that were host hotels that set rules and guidelines for what is appropriate, what is not appropriate. Included in this ordinance are prohibitions on certain weapons, certain equipment, certain materials, certain devices that we know have been used against law enforcement largely in previous conventions and other national security events. We will not tolerate that. In no uncertain terms will we tolerate the use of any of those specified items or weapons against our men and women in law enforcement. And so that is included in this ordinance. We've also designed parameters which are predominantly focused on the downtown area and some of the neighborhoods surrounding downtown. We've put in language dealing with permits and what is required to pull a permit and time frame, the insurance required, and some of the other things involving the actual protests themselves. But we want to get it out early. We want to make sure that it is disseminated widely so that when people come to Tampa, that they know what's expected of them, they know what that will be allowed to, they will be allowed to do. And hopefully this will be a great 4 days, and everyone will go away happy and satisfied that they had a chance to participate.
And the borders of the clean zone are on the west Rome Avenue, on the north Columbus Drive, on the east 22nd Street and Channel Side, and the south is the water, including Harbor Island and Davis Islands.
Correct.
And inside that, there's a couple things I want to ask you about. One is that the city parks will close at 3 in the morning there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you think that will affect protesters who come to Tampa and anticipate that they might be sleeping in city parks inside the clean zone?
Well, they won't be. That's pretty simple. Just like we didn't allow the Occupy folks to sleep in our parks, that prohibition on camping in parks has been in place for a number of years. It will remain in place. It will be enforced. We have expanded the hours to make sure that, you know, people have an opportunity to gather. We recognize that most of the activities at the forum will take place in the evenings, and so people who want to protest in the evenings will be allowed to do so. But there will be no camping in the public parks.
Also, you mentioned the permits. It's going to be expedited, the process, the permit fee reduced to $50 inside the clean zone. And the duration of the permit will be for 60 minutes. What happens if there's either a spontaneous event that has more than 50 people or if the event is lasting longer than 60 minutes?
Well, we recognize that this will be a fluid 4 days. We will be fluid as well. There will be spontaneous demonstrations that will occur outside of the official parade routes. That is addressed in the ordinance. They will be allowed to, you know, to march on the sidewalk, and assuming that they stay out of vehicular traffic and don't clog up intersections and obey the normal laws, there is a there's language there that encourages that and allows that. You know, we're just trying to give everybody an appropriate venue and an appropriate route and an appropriate opportunity to voice whatever concerns they may have. But again, you know, and I can't stress this enough, there is an expectation of certain behavior, and you know, we will do the best we can to be as flexible as we can. But folks who cross the line will be dealt with.
But former Tampa City Council member John Dingfelder is concerned about Buckhorn's proposed temporary ordinance. Dingfelder is now with the American Civil Liberties Union of Florida.
Well, we're still analyzing the 18-page ordinance that the city came out with yesterday. So we're going to, you know, do our research and make our presentation to City Council next Thursday when Council starts talking about this issue. But with that said, you know, as I've said in the past, the 60 minutes issue, you know, I think is fairly unrealistic and perhaps unreasonable, you know, restraint on free speech. You know, if you have a group of perhaps 100, you know, protesters in a 5-block parade route, then maybe you can do it in an hour. But if groups come in, and we expect that there might be large groups of union folks or other big organizations come in with, you know, several thousand people for one big rally and one big parade, to get it all organized, you know, up, running, done, you know, parade route and the whole thing in 60 minutes might be, you know, just really unrealistic and unreasonable and, you know, and asking for problems, I think.
And for his part, Mayor Buckhorn told me that they would have some sort of flexibility on that 60-minute limit. That he also said that, you know, there could be unlimited protests inside this public viewing area, which some people call a free speech zone. Is that a good alternative?
Well, I think it might be an alternative for some groups, but for other groups, it might not be. I mean, we have no idea, you know, the location or the size of the so-called public viewing area. You know, it really is, you know, what a lot of cities are trying to do is create these free speech zones. You know, we inherently, the ACLU inherently is opposed to this concept of a free speech zone because to us, you know, the entire city should be a free speech zone. And you know, if they want to fence off the Tampa Bay Times Forum to not allow free speech inside there, that's their prerogative, but anywhere outside of that fence, you know, should be a free speech zone. So, this notion of a clean zones and free speech zones, you know, we really think is anathema to the First Amendment.
The clean zone takes up a good chunk of central Tampa, including all of Davis Islands, which is mostly residential. What happens if a property owner, a homeowner, or a business owner wants to allow a demonstration to happen on their property? Do they still have to follow all these rules inside the clean zone?
I think that's a little unclear right now. I think there are some provisions. I'll give you an example of the disturbing provision that's in there that I don't know has been reported yet. But it's the banner provision. So, well, I'll give you a sort of a far-fetched example. But let's say I have a house out on Davis, on West Davis Boulevard on Davis Island, and I decide that I want to put up a big banner. It's the, you know, 10 feet by 10 feet. Put it up on 4x4s in my front yard and says, you know, "I love Mitt Romney. Welcome RNC." Well, that's contrary to city code right now. But if you did that right now, you would just get cited by code enforcement, and they'd bring you in front of the code enforcement board, and 6 months later you might get a ticket or, you know, you might, you know, get some penalty. But under this RNC clean zone ordinance on Davis Island, if you put up a banner like that, no matter what it said, they could actually come and arrest you on the spot, you know, without any warning and without any due process. And take it down, and because you're violating this clean zone ordinance, and to me that's just silly. I mean, it's really, you know, it's unreasonable. There's no basis for it. There's no basis whatsoever for changing the rules on that type of free speech just because there's an RNC, you know, in town. The other thing in terms of the size of the, you know, the scope of the clean zone, I think is extremely unreasonable, because they have gone into residential areas that really have nothing to do, you know, with the demonstrators and that sort of thing. I mean, demonstrators won't even be able to find Davis Island unless they happen to be going down the Bayshore and get lost and make a turn and go over the bridge. And having been president of the Davis Island Civic Association, once people get on Davis Island, if they're not familiar with the streets, they can be lost out there for hours. But anyway, the bottom line is you know, you've got neighborhoods like Tampa Heights, Davis Island, Hyde Park, that just because they butt up against downtown are now going to be, you know, people who live there, people who work in those areas, you know, their civil liberties are going to be restrained just because there's an RNC in town.